It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The longest federal government shutdown in American history may be over, but challenges for air traffic controllers and the aviation industry remain.
In the midst of the 43-day shutdown, Transportation Secretary and former Wisconsin lawmaker Sean Duffy said the country was losing 15 to 20 air traffic controllers a day to retirement.
What does it all mean for air travelers here in Wisconsin? Howard Hardy is an aviation reporter with Flight Global. Howard, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on the show.
We had this shutdown, longest in U.S. history. What big picture do you see as its legacy, if any, for aviation?
Yeah, so the government shutdown had prompted the Trump administration to mandate a 10% capacity reduction across 40 of the USA's largest airports. And this was designed to ease the pressure on our strained air traffic control system. You know, anybody not living under a rock is probably familiar with that situation by now. ATC workers were not getting paid during the shutdown, adding sort of a financial dimension to what is already a taxing profession. Some controllers were calling out sick while others were stepping down entirely. And this led to traffic flow problems at big airport hubs. I was on a flight a couple weeks ago that circled San Francisco for an extra 45 minutes before we touched down, and the airline attributed that delay directly to the ATC shortage. And, you know, most people who traveled during that period likely had a similar experience, spending more time taxiing before takeoff, or, you know, more time waiting to land or having their departure time delayed. There just weren't enough ATC personnel to sort of clear the queues. But, you know, at least partially due to the optics of the shutdown causing these travel issues out in the real world, the shutdown is now over. Airline operations have returned to their normal levels of delays and cancellations, which is to say that there are always some, even on good days. But what I think is interesting now is how the shutdown standoff could affect airlines and the ATC situation moving forward.
Right, because before the shutdown, I understand there were concerns about our air traffic controller workforce, not enough of them, people retiring, obviously a stressful job. The shutdown was an acute, you know, look at that problem. It hasn't magically gone away, though, right?
No, exactly. So the shutdown happened in this longer-term context where we just haven't had enough ATC workers in the U.S., and more specifically in the Northeast, in cities like D.C. and New York and Boston, the really busy hubs up there. This has been a longstanding issue. Airlines have been calling for some kind of action to address this shortage for years. And the Trump administration has made a big hiring push. They've set some ambitious staffing targets, created incentives for signing on, and they've tried to streamline the training process to shorten the time it takes from the application stage to being, you know, like a trained independent controller, which does not happen overnight. By the way, this could be like a 3 or 5 year process,
right?
In fact.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. This is not something you solve quickly. If I decided to, rethink my career, A, they wouldn't have me probably, but B, if they did, I'm not in that chair for a long time, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is a rigorous process. They have an aptitude test that they give you, and even if you do qualify, it takes you quite a while to be an independent controller out on your own. You have a shadowing process for quite some time as well, where you're working with a qualified, experienced controller. So there's this lag time in the system where even though they're ramping up their hiring efforts, it's not going to show up overnight.
At the other end of the pipeline, there were concerns about air traffic controller retirement going up during the shutdown in particular. Have we lost people toward the end of their careers who we might have had around for maybe another 3 or 5 years while we train up some new folks?
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, whom you're familiar with in Wisconsin, he said that, you know, they were losing 15 to 20 controllers daily to retirement during the shutdown period. Compared with the usual rate of more like 4 or 5 daily retirements. So clearly attrition increased rather sharply, and it sounds like some of their hiring gains could have been negated, but to one extent isn't immediately apparent. I think what the shutdown really did was put a spotlight on how stressful being a controller can be. You know, hundreds of lives are at stake, and you're managing these complex airspaces with just so many moving parts. And then there's this extra layer of the pressure from coming on high. You know, the president is taking to social media to sort of blast controllers who weren't clocking in some cases questioning their patriotism for taking sick days or what have you. So whether the shutdown has any sort of effect on the FAA's recruitment efforts and their ability to staff the ATC towers of the future will be an interesting question. You know, did this episode really sell people on this career path, or does it seem too high stress? It's kind of hard to say right now in the big picture, but that will definitely be interesting to watch.
When people look at this issue, I think nationwide, they might be thinking about, you know, the biggest hubs for air travel. Here in Wisconsin, we've got, you know, an airport in Milwaukee, pretty good size, not a major national hub. Then Dane County and Madison, a couple smaller passenger airports. How have you seen things shake out for, you know, smaller regional airports when it comes to air traffic control? Is this a big airport issue, or is this an everywhere issue?
I would say it's mostly a big airport issue. You know, the measures that the administration took to ease pressure on hubs was really focused on those 40 biggest airports in the United States. And so when we're talking about how air travelers in Wisconsin are affected, I would really think about, you know, people catching connections at O'Hare in Chicago. So when I tend to think about, you know, the ATC shortage and how it's affecting everyday travelers, I normally think of, you know, flow through these really big, busy, congested hubs like Chicago.
Is there any kind of sense that, you know, we are safe, we are less safe in the air because of these problems now? We had that crash in Kentucky. It was a cargo plane. I got the sense that it wasn't an air traffic problem. It was an equipment malfunction. What do we know about safety given these challenges with air traffic controllers?
You know, there really are lots of aviation safety incidents around the world every day. I don't want to downplay people's concerns. I think that has always been true to some extent, although there are more planes flying today than ever. And I think people are just more aware now, you know, with the rise of social media and everybody being able to become their own crash investigator. The U.S. had that long period, though, of no fatal accidents on commercial aircraft prior to the PSA Airlines Black Hawk crash at Reagan Airport in D.C. I feel like since then we've been sort of shaken awake here in the U.S. You know, airline safety certainly isn't something to take for granted, and these tragic accidents can help us avoid similar outcomes in the future. So I hope that the reality of what can go wrong helps airlines and aircraft manufacturers and regulators and indeed ATC controllers. I hope they can, you know, kind of tighten up their respective operations and try to avoid these outcomes. On the note of safety, I just visited Airbus's factory in Toulouse where they have an aviation safety center. And one thing they said there really stuck with me. In the early 1990s, they had something like 300 or 350 aircraft flying globally. And now that figure is more like 16,000 aircraft. So there are just more commercial aircraft out there, which means more opportunity for accidents. And Airbus was really emphatic in saying that it would be unacceptable to maintain the same rate of accidents as they continue to scale up the global fleet. That would just translate into a noticeable amount, an increase of accidents. And really nobody wants to hear, you know, rate statistics after a plane crashes. So I think we just need continuous improvement, or the public simply will not accept the safety risks.
Now, the FAA lifted all those restrictions on commercial flights we were talking about earlier in the wake of the shutdown ending. That announcement came out on Sunday. Was it easy for the airlines to go back to full capacity there, or did it take some time to get back to what standard operating procedure?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. The airline cancellations and delays got a lot of coverage. And I understand why. It's a really clear example of government dysfunction kind of spilling over into the real world and affecting everyday travelers in a practical way. But relative to some other stuff that trips up airline operations, you know, like recent examples being technology outages, bad weather, or labor union action, The shutdown didn't really register as a crisis from our perspective as aviation reporters. A 10% reduction in air traffic isn't an emergency relative to, you know, Air Canada just shut down 100% of its network over the summer because their flight attendants were on strike. And compared to Southwest Airlines had this complete network meltdown over the 2022-23 winter period, which caused something like 17,000 flight cancellations. So the shutdown period was meaningful, and people's itineraries were disrupted. We've all been there and it stinks, but maybe it was a bit oversold as this like apocalyptic event. So to answer your question, airline operations have resumed more or less as normal. Like I mentioned earlier, we still have some delays and cancellations. What is interesting, I think, is that we're seeing a suppression in bookings further out. It appears that the shutdown has had a negative effect on air travel through the Thanksgiving holiday period, which is, you know, really supposed to be a boom time for airlines. So it's kind of bad news for the airlines that are hoping to put some of the earlier year struggles behind them.
Howard Hardy is with us, aviation reporter with Flight Global, looking at the impact of the shutdown, concerns about air traffic controllers, and other issues affecting passenger airline travel. Howard, you just teased what I wanted to ask next. Looking ahead at the Thanksgiving holiday, you just mentioned people haven't been booking as much. What does that mean? What are the numbers we're talking about? How short are airlines falling from what they might have expected?
Yeah, so we look at this data provider called Cirium, and it's something we often reference as reporters, and that says that domestic bookings are down about 3% relative to the same period of 2024. And it appears that bookings have slowed in general, which, as I mentioned, is bad news for U.S. airlines. They had recovered pretty nicely from the low period earlier this year. You might recall when everyone was holding their breath to see if tariffs would send the U.S. into a recession. Those fears really suppressed air travel to and within the U.S., but then airlines bounced back relatively quickly. They're all fairly upbeat during their third quarter earnings calls. A lot of U.S. carriers were saying that they were feeling pretty good about the final few weeks of the year, but now it looks like they're looking at a significant year-on-year decline in bookings, at least in the very short term. And as I mentioned, you know, this is a big deal because Thanksgiving Sunday is the busiest air travel day of the year. But we'll have to see how it goes through the holiday, and we might see a rebound by the time Christmas and New Year's rolls around.
I assume these are raw enough stats that we don't know the why behind them. It could be, well, gosh, I'm scared by this news I'm hearing from the shutdown or air traffic controllers, or it could be inflation, economics. I don't want to spend the money now. I'm guessing that information is we're still waiting on.
Yeah, I think it would be fair to say that every time there's a big event, either, you know, with the economy or the government, it kind of shakes consumer confidence and airline spending, particularly leisure travel, is one of the first things people cut out of the budgets if they're feeling a little uncertain about the future and their money-making ability. So I would put this phenomenon in that same bucket where I think maybe U.S. consumers are feeling a little uneasy about spending over the holiday season, and that would probably at least partially explain the suppression in air travel bookings.
Now, Spirit Airlines announced it'll drop service from Milwaukee, among other airports, starting in January. I know airports tweak their services all the time. How big a deal is that? Is that something that they're going to feel the loss, people who fly through Milwaukee, or do you anticipate other airlines might pick up some of that slack?
Yeah, that's actually happening all over the country right now. Spirit is going through its second bankruptcy proceeding in less than 12 months. They've had a really difficult period of contraction where they're furloughing pilots and flight attendants and cutting aircraft out of their fleet. And they've totally exited about a dozen U.S. markets, including Milwaukee. And yes, I do actually expect other carriers to step up and kind of fill the void. We've seen Frontier Airlines, one of their biggest rivals, has been really open about you know, stepping into markets recently vacated by Spirit and kind of capitalizing on the distress of their competitor. We also see some startup airlines like Breeze Airways and Avelo Airlines. They have also moved in on markets when Spirit moves out of them. Another player to keep an eye on would be Allegiant Air. I'm not sure how much interest they would have in Milwaukee in particular, But generally speaking, the airline industry abhors a vacuum, and I would expect another airline to step into Milwaukee and kind of fill that gap.
One other piece of news, I see the Trump administration rolling back some Biden-era rules for consumers. One would have offered compensation when passengers face significant delays. Are these changes significant, as you see it, for air travelers?
I think that, you know, it was kind of this unusual tack that the Biden administration had taken, where they were, you know, advocating for consumers that have really gotten the short end of the stick for a long time when it comes to you know, receiving compensation for canceled flights and the expenses that occur when you have to stay in a city that you weren't expecting to, and you have to spring for you know, a night in a hotel and Uber fare and all that. And really what Trump is doing is kind of a return to normal, where consumers have limited means for recompensation when it comes to disrupted itineraries. I think it is a big deal for consumers, but I'm also not sure how many consumers were aware that those protections were available over the past few years.
Looking ahead, what is the big story you're watching for, especially in commercial passenger air travel?
I'd say the thing that I follow most closely is the state of the low-cost carrier sector in the United States. That has been the most interesting from, you know, kind of an analytical perspective, because they've been under pretty intense pressure. The major carriers, Delta, United, American, they have really dialed in low-cost products of their own. So they sell cheap seats in the back of their aircraft for rates that are similar or maybe even undercutting the low-cost carriers, so that they can offer seats to passengers for maybe even less than Frontier and Spirit in some cases. And that has placed a lot of pressure on the existing low-cost carriers. But at the same time, those carriers I mentioned before, Avelo and Breeze, they seem to be having success flying smaller aircraft to these kind of underserved cities, rather than challenging big airlines kind of head-to-head in really big markets flying into the most popular cities in the U.S. They're targeting these sort of under-the-radar markets with smaller aircraft, and it seems to be a formula that's providing them some success. And so I think the thing that I'll be following, as, you know, especially as Spirit is going through a really difficult period of contraction, whether you know, new players like Avelo and Breeze rise up and become more formidable players in the market and really give, you know, the major carriers a run for their money.
Howard, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Howard Hardy is an aviation reporter with Flight Global, formerly, by the way, with Wisconsin Watch. We've been talking about the needs and challenges for air traffic controllers in the aviation industry, what it all means for travelers here in Wisconsin.